If you have seen a small child, a newly born baby, a baby in a 6 months or a 1 year holds your finger, if you'll play with him, he'll hold your finger by his thumb and hold it completely and grab your finger by his hand and don't want it to leave it. You have to push it hard that leave it, but he don't want it to leave it. We feel that the boys or girl or baby is feeling us and seeing that there's an attachment to it, my boy, my baby, my girl, and feeling an attachment to me. But the reality thing is that baby know how to make a grip onto a thing but don't know how to lose out the grip onto it. And slowly and gradually he learns how to lose out the grip on the things.
Welcome to the Business Developer Podcast with Sujay, a source of inspiration for business developers. By listening to this podcast, you may gain some ideas, inspirations, or food for thought towards your own journey of developing your business successfully, now or in the near future. First of all, I would like to wish you a very happy New Year 2023. May you achieve your goals for this new year. Thanks to each one of you who listened to the previous episode with Resha Shroff, wherein we learned about the importance of balancing between speed and perfection while developing a business. In this episode, we shall talk on a topic which is important, yet I have found that it is ignored by many business owners. It is the topic of succession planning. We shall talk about what it is, why it is needed, and how to execute it, and much more. Actually, the credits for this episode goes to Ravi Mamodia. He has been one of the listeners of this podcast, and some time back, Ravi reached out to me and shared this topic of succession planning and the importance for business developers. After my initial chat with him, I agreed with him that this topic of succession planning would be valuable for the community of business owners. Hence this episode. I have taken multiple learnings by talking to Ravi. I expect you would enjoy listening to this episode and also take away your own learnings. So without further ado, please join me in welcoming our guest, Ravi Mamodia. Hello, Ravi. Welcome to the Business Developer Podcast. Thanks a lot for taking out time to join this episode.
Thank you, Sujit, for inviting me on this podcast. And it's really been a great pleasure and excited to talk to you. Since really long, I'm just continually listening your other topics and they really fascinated me to talk about your topic and see that how the audience are working and just the well-being of everybody. Thank you so much for inviting me here.
Oh, thanks a lot, Ravi, for the feedback, and not only to me, but also to all the other participants who have come here to share their experience. And actually, this podcast I've created to serve as a source of inspiration for business developers, right? They are working day in, day out, working very hard to develop their business. And it's very important, I believe, to get experience and knowledge from the community who may not be just in your physical social circle, but from others. So this podcast is a means to make a difference in their lives, hopefully.
Right, definitely.
So Ravi, to get started, help our audience to learn about yourself. So if you can share the story of your life till now.
Yeah, so basically, I became a chartered accountant in the 2011. And since then, I'm doing my practice and interacting with the various business entrepreneurs and seeing that how I can put the value addition into their life along with the taxation, auditing and other aspects. What are those areas where directly as a financial expert, I can put out something into their lives as well. So journey went up and down everywhere. And I've been first generation into this where I have started my own practice. So basic hiccups were right from the beginning that I have to search for a client, doing a delivery, maintaining a team. And throughout this process, I really learned a lot and see that how these challenges grooms you up and takes up you to another level of the life. So the things were going pretty well, exciting. But in 2016, I lost my father in an accident. And that was something which is very shocking for me and my family. And I've been an elder one into my family, so I have to take care of my family well. And along with that, being it's a shocking news for all of us, so emotional aspects, along with that, financial aspects of the complete family went very haywire, and everybody is worried about all of these things. So being an elder person and elder boy in the family, I started taking a lead and help my family to come out of it. My younger brother marriage, family settlement, giving him in a good house, and marriage of my sister, and all of these things has happened along with emotional handling of my mother and the financials or the estates when my father has created. So managing all of these things was a bit typical for me and gives a good experience to me for 2 years continuously. Up those 2 years hiccups, I come across with that journey along with my financial expertise. And COVID being that time after 2016, where politely I sit and introspect that what is going, how the life has taken up the shape. So I realized that the hiccups of mine, the pain areas of mine was really very high at the time when I lost my father. So how can I contribute to the society to document it and to make the people understand that how they can see and make these things better? So I probably feel that being a financial expert, if I have that much of hiccups, a person who is not financially literate or don't understand about the numbers, the documentation, the laws around it, then it will be very hiccup for him. So I tried to create something a good onto it and wanted to give to a contribute to a society about my learning. So in a COVID, I wrote a book on the business succession planning where I have given my experience of handling these kind of a thing emotionally as well as the financial aspects of it, that how you can inculcate these things into your if these kind of a things happen into someone's life, then how they can handle it in a better way. So that is something which I feel that continuously my journey has taught me, and I wanted to contribute it to that.
Sorry to hear about the family challenges that you face and the demise of your father, but you have come through it and you have learned through those experiences, and now you feel that you are in a position to share it with the community and the other people who might benefit from it, right? So I think that succession planning is an interesting topic, right? That actually piqued my interest, and I haven't covered that in my podcast yet, and frankly didn't consider even that, okay, business developers should also keep that in their frame of thinking and decision making. I think that's, let us have this discussion in this podcast, and hopefully our listeners here could also benefit and think about the topic of succession planning in their own businesses, right? So that's a value we can give to our listeners, the business developers here. Let us start this discussion by sharing, maybe trying to discuss, what do you think could be the need and importance of succession planning for a business? Why should they think about it? Because they are so much busy running their revenues, operations, and growing their business. How and when should one think about planning for succession?
Yeah, very nice question and very important. So basically, I'll say this is something which really step stone into that what we are doing and what we wanted to talk about. So first, I'll just let you know that what is succession planning. The succession planning, to a listener who don't know or wanted to know more about it to get a better clarity onto it. So succession planning is a transition of your business from one generation to another. That transition can be within the family or outside the family. Whatever the means it is, the business should go on from a generation to another generation. That is what the USP of the business is, and it should go. That definition of succession planning has impacted the importance of running a business from generation and for hundreds of the years. So big business houses which are running from a hundred of years, there is that the only thing which happened with them good is they have planned their succession into a right way. So there's one thing that we call a family succession planning, where your next successor is going to come within the family. And if it is not within the family, which is might be a possibility that you, nobody in the family is interested into a business or wanted to carry some other business, or there is any can be another reasons for that, we'll call a business succession planning if the successor goes outside the family. And these are the two major framework where we work for the succession planning. So I think the answer lies into your question itself. When you ask that what is the need of it, if the entrepreneur is himself involved into a day-to-day transaction so much that he don't have a time. So you really make something that really need to understand that in day-to-day time, day-to-day workings, day-to-day hiccups, we don't get the time to think and introspect that what we are going to and where we wanted to lead the business, where we wanted to reach ultimately. So I'll just tell you a very interesting ideology which I used to follow. Hindu mythological background. So Vishnu Bhagwan is one like avatar of Krishna ji. There is a spiritual guide that comes as a Garuda Puran. When somebody passes away into the Hindu family. For 15 days, they read Garud Puran, in which Vishnu Bhagwan explained Garud. Garud is basically an eagle on which the Vishnu Bhagwan used to travel. That what is happening with the people's soul, that is what it has been explained into it. So, I'm not going into that typical mythological discussion, but the Vishnu Bhagwan has been depicted by two kind of Vahan. That one is Garud. Garud is an eagle through which he used to travel and go and see the well-being of the people. Another one is snake, Sarp, that on which the Vishnu Bhagwan is going to sleep upon and used to be into the sagar, that what we'll say. So these two framework that Vishnu Bhagwan has taught to us, one is Sarp view, another is Garud view. Sarp view means a reptile view, a very niche view, where a reptile cannot see a very long distance, but to the time he sees, he travels to that distance. But if you see a eagle, a bird eye view, who sees the complete scenario, the complete places around it, that how the things looks like to the longer perspective and other things also. So I think as a business owner must have both the views, Garud view and Sarp view. When I'm talking about the Sarp view, then the daily hiccups, daily problems, daily way of dealing it, operational hiccups, production hiccups, logistic, any kind of a thing that they are handling, that should come into a Sarp view, which they are dealing with on a daily basis. But every business owner also must have a Garud view, a bird eye view, where he can see that how the business is going to be after 10 years. Because that is what the entrepreneurship comes in, where the leader takes up the things to another level, which is only possible when we have that bird eye view. So I must say, the need of succession comes in when you see a complete scenario as a bird eye view and you want it to be that responsive to those things that that gives a result to your system, that gives a result to your business, that gives a result and value to your family. That is how the picture comes in. And if along with the mathological way, I'll talk about the research part of it, then a very interesting research come to me and which says that if a person plans his succession and doesn't plan his succession, then what is going to happen? If he planned his succession, research says that his market capitalization raised up by more than 28%, and his EBITDA, that is profit, increases by 4.5%. That is a research done by Boston Consulting Group, and I really find this research very interesting and practically applicable to every kind of an entrepreneur. I'll give you a very nice example. So, say if you are a business owner and you are dealing with one of the vendor, your vendor is like your 30-year-old vendor and continuously supplying to you best rate, best quality, everything is going good. But now he's running into his 60s and you started feeling at one point of time that what is the next step? Who is going to take up the things after him? We have to search for another vendor because I have to run my factory. I have to run my business. And if that vendor is having a proper succession planning in hand and explain his ecosystem that I have a succession planning, then ecosystem supports him into a very nice way, which I am saying you that the research says itself that 28% market capitalization increases and profitability by 4.5%, which is a very smart sum for any entrepreneur if he plans for his succession into a right way and a right time. So that is what I feel the need and importance of the succession planning.
Very well captured, Ravi. From a mythological way, I think not only in Hindu, many other mythological areas or religions, if I can call, will have their own stories wherein not only thinking about the near term, but having the bird eye view or having a longer term, not only in business, but in one's life as well. And then you actually covered with a very more practical and research view as well from Boston Consulting Group, where succession planning is so much key to the business and the results it delivers for a business, which could serve as proof points for business owners who have still not planned or thought about succession planning to bring that into their agenda. Now, if you can then move on, have you experienced some of the myths or facts, some concerns, anything that the business developers have gone through or you have also faced that, okay, these are the myths about succession planning?
Yeah, so thank you for raising up this also, because once the thing which I used to say always, that there are two things once people don't want to talk about, be it any country, any religion, anything, people don't want to talk about the death. and they don't even want to talk about the succession. And even the only reality the after a birth is the death, be it any kind of scenario. But people don't want to talk about it. So one of the important myth, or I'll not say a myth, but a problem or challenge into this is that people don't want to talk about death. People don't feel comfortable in talking about the death. So if they are not comfortable about talking about the death, then they are also not comfortable about talking about the succession planning. And the myths that comes in is that succession planning is meant for the old people who goes in late 60s, 70s, they should plan for the succession. And a very high rich people should plan for their succession. A middle class business owner, MSME, who is having a small business houses, should not plan it or do it in the normal way. But my understanding of the succession planning, it should be meant for everybody. It should go into a right way. In an Indian system, if you have heard that there's a lot of family oriented things are going up here more. And people are having a good harmonies. So many of the people think that I have a very good harmony into my family. I don't need a succession planning. But reality is that what is your past is not equal to your future. What is your past cannot be your present. And what is your present cannot be your future. And we have to plan for a succession into a right way. And people feel that there is no need of planning of a succession without taking a help of a professional. Because it involves very critical things like estate planning, like your HR management, your assessment, hiring, grooming. These are very technical issues in which a professional helps, always trigger ups and takes the things into a right way, which always been appreciated by the people. And one more important myth I wanted to highlight here is that, especially I'm talking about the Indian scenario, and I think that probably works everywhere, that people feel that in my bank account, I have given my nominee as my wife or spouse or children. And nominee will get the fund. But the reality into Indian scenario probably is that the nominee is just a custodian of the money. The money goes to the one who is the legal heir of that person. And these kind of a big myths people carries off, and they don't want to plan on the succession in the right time, which I usually feel and tell everybody, please remove these myths and start working onto it.
Very nice. I think very important points. Hope it's valuable for the listeners as well. Now, Ravi, let us move to the operational aspect of it, as in achieving the succession planning, given it is so important and people, listeners here, realize it is needed in their business. And then the next question could come in their mind, how to identify a successor? What could be the key skills and competencies that is needed? Should I take external help, like you also talked about? So what should be done? Maybe in a family scenario, it might be a little bit easier. You might look into your bloodline and see. But if let's take a more of an example, a difficult one maybe, wherein you are running a business, you do not have anybody in the family or nobody in the family is interested. How do you plan succession? How do you identify your successor? Would you be able to share some insights on these lines?
Right. I feel that this is a five-step approach that one should follow for the succession planning. One, the most important first, that is identification of the vision. That what is the vision of the company, the organization, the group as a whole. That what is the vision, where they wanted to lead, where they wanted to reach. That is the first step. Second step comes in where they comes up with a family values and understanding the family integrities. Once you understand the family integrities and align your business vision, then the third step comes in where you do an alignment between the family and business. Because your family values become the value and strategical and helps in the strategical planning of your company. That there how that goes the parallel. So that the third steps comes in. Then the fourth step comes where we identify the successor and groom him up and make him ready to go for that. What the next challenge going to come up. And the last step where we plan for the estates, for the retirement strategy, where to how to retain the sum, how the person who is leaving should go and take an exit, and these all of kinds of things. So these are the five-step approach that one a successful succession story goes up with this. So if you will talk about specifically to me that how to identify the successor and how to lead it up. So a right kind of a successor is being gone through with a different stages. Say be it within the family or outside the family, the competent person should get the role. The competent person should get the place. The competency analysis can be done by the external people or within the team itself. Might a better person is not within your family, can outside your family, can be somebody who's at a CXO level with you and stayed with you for 20 years, 30 years, 15 years and understand your value a lot and the business principles a lot and complete science of the background of the same. So that is how the identification of a successor should comes in the picture. So I'll say that we have to see that what are the multiple options available first. And out of those multiple options, a competency analysis should be done on a different kind of a level, on his leadership skill, on his vision, on competitiveness, his values in action, his commitment towards the business. And these kind of a things should be considered while examining that person, which can be done by a different kind of a questionnaire, by a different kind of a psychometric tests, by different kind of experience of an HR people. Experienced HR people should conduct these kind of a thing. And when these kind of a things will come into a place, automatically are eligible and most eligible person should come into a picture, and that should be selected to take and things to the another level. So I'll say that it is within the family or outside the family, the process almost goes the same way. We have to identify that who is the right person who can lead up the things to next level into a business domain, and have to see that a multiple option should be there, and it should be well communicated within the family. Multiple option means that might that successor which you have identified at particular point of a time, he's looking for some other things, or is no more, or passes up before. There's a certain kind of a mistake that people do is make senior people as in their next level. So what happened that they are also having a short span of a time and life is really uncertain. So we have to make an uncertain planning along with this selection planning, that who is the first one that we wanted to groom up first. But parallelly, we have to take a plan B also into a picture, so that we'll switch and can safeguard the things in a better way. And this all of the scenarios should be well communicated within the family as well as into a business also. If it goes within the family, then it should be well communicated within the family, and it should be well communicated in your team as well, that this is a person who's going to come up, because that person has led it into another level and now is going to come up as the founder and as a leader of that company. And that leader should give the comfort to all the people and should be comfortably adjusted so that they can keep up to the another level.
Yeah. I think communication is certainly very important. Like we discussed in the beginning, towards the beginning, not only internally, but maybe with your key partners or your key customers, you should give them the confidence that the successors are here. I believe it might be very challenging, I feel, for a business developers to also identify by themselves only. So I think external help might be really much important that a business developers could bring in to get in a outside in perspective of who could be a potential successors, right?
Correct. I 100% agree with you, because these are such a critical factors which should be evaluated by some external person. You have been biased, being a human being, and you are working with that person for since long, or you can be biased towards your family. So external validation should be there. A complete team should stand along with that. That should come up.
I also feel so. It should be given as importance as like you are doing, bringing in a external consultant to for a strategy to grow your business. And Ravi, suppose you have identified a person, and that brings to the next question, because that successor may not have still done the role as a business owner. And then there's a challenge, right? In how do you give that successor the real life experience of being a business owner? How do you then groom? How should a business owner groom that successor to be in a role that that person hasn't played before?
Right. Very, very nice question. So I'll say that once you have identified that who will be the first or second prospect to whom you wanted to work up and wanted to see that the succession should come from them. So one is the academic knowledge that person is already having. If not, then that should be first comes up into a picture, where he'll have a basic academics knowledge of managing and understanding the things at a bigger and better level. Second things which usually that you have also mentioned about is experiential learning, where the people sit next to you, the person, the successor whom you have identified should sit next to you, and you just give him a complete guidance that how he should take a decision, how he should talk in this meeting, how he can improve. If he has leaded this meeting, then he should see you that how you have leaded the meeting with your customer, with your vendor, how you negotiate with them, how you convince your team to work upon a particular project for the late nights, and convince them to have a being a better person, how you'll be so emotionally attached with your team. All of these things need to be told and by an experiential way that he should sit next to you and have a better learning continuously. Third step which I feel comes in is mentoring. So many a time there's some mentor comes into our life. So we have to see that the successor should get a proper kind of a mentor. Say for example, if he's an expert of sailing, then he should understand the finance also, being he's a CEO. So a bit understanding of the purchase and negotiation also. So he, who can be a better mentor for him? Might be a one who is leaving this place. He can tell and he can make him and give him that experience. But many a time I feel that in a father-son relationship, many a time a first son doesn't feel that comfort in understanding from his father itself. So there is a mentorship comes into a picture where the father can ask somebody to mentor him. And then father can have being a, that watch person that who's sitting next and watching that whether he's been developing the things into a right way. Coaching can be another format where the people and now these days people have started believing that they should learn from the coaching way through which they have been coached by some person and they have got that experience and then they are applying it to their business and other areas of their life. So these are the four areas which I feel that one should do. So the most important, if you'll ask me, that is experiential learning. When I say that a succession is something which should be begin on the right time, then the question arises that what is the right time then? When should I identify my successor and when to start grooming that successor and how to groom and since how long I have to groom? 1 year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, what should be that criteria and what should be that timeline where I should do this? So my answer to these questions to the people is, if I'll say that a succession is something which takes at least 10 to 15 years. And this is by way of my experience and a thousands of people's experience who have done their successful succession. So a 10-year time span means the identification and grooming of that person continuously for that 10 years. So that he'll be got trained into that thing. The 10,000 hour rule works into it, where the people has been groomed by keeping it into a system and our owner who is leaving from the system is continuously watching it. A parallel challenge which I feel which comes in is, I always say that if you have seen a small child, a newly born baby, a baby in a 6 months or a 1 year holds your finger, if you play with him, he'll hold your finger by his thumb and hold it completely and grab your finger by his hand. And don't want it to leave it. You have to push it hard that leave it. But he don't want it to leave it. We feel that the boys or girl or baby is feeling us and seeing that there's attachment to it. My boy, my baby, my girl, and feeling an attachment to me. But the reality thing is that baby know how to make a grip onto a thing, but don't know how to lose out the grip onto a thing. And slowly and gradually he learns how to lose out the grip on the things. If you'll go scientifically, then it has been proved that baby first has to learn how to hold and then he learn how to leave.
That's interesting.
And the same problem happens with our business owners. They know how to hold their business, but they don't know how to lose their business, which becomes a problem for the next successor to coming into a picture. Because if one should not leave the another one, how he will be able to handle it into a better way? And as a father always feel that my fund is not that ready, my team persons are not ready, I have to be into a system, without this it cannot be happened. But the reality is it can happen, you have to leave. It is not that you're not able to pick it up. The reality is that you are not able to leave it into a proper way. That can also be a scenario. And we have to consider both the ways in an equalized way. So I'll say these 10 years, the person has to prepare himself to leave and another person has to prepare himself to grab that thing. And that is the time span where that gripping has happened and then the business goes successfully to the next leadership also. Otherwise, chances of collapse, not leaving, making a wrong decision increases into a system. One more thing I wanted to mention here is that what makes me to research onto these things so granularly. So I feel that my interaction with the people, I feel that after third generation, especially in India, people are not able to transfer their businesses. Within third generation or fourth generation, the complete business collapse. Just because our siblings have rivalries, not identification of a successor, not being groomed properly, a person is not able to leave his chair, and these kind of a challenges that are coming in. And I feel that if these kind of a challenges removed from our business, then I feel that will be a big challenge, big growth our country can see, a big growth our community can see, a big growth your society can see. The only challenge is we have to plan this succession into a right way. So if I sum up, the learning, experiential learning, coaching and mentoring is the way. 10 to 15 years, the time span through which it should be done. And the one who's leaving the things should understand that slowly and gradually he should leave. And the one who's grabbing it up should understand that he has to grab up into a right way on a right time.
Yeah, very well said. Very well said, Ravi. You spoke about success through succession. I believe that should be the title of this episode itself. How do you drive success through succession? And this 10 to 15 years, that's a very long timeline. And that's where I believe the challenge comes in. Because businesses, they are looking to develop their business in 10 to 15 years. The owners are seeing how that person personally grows and the business grows. And in the same time, parallelly think about losing the grip. It's a challenge. And that's why I think business owners should recognize it's a challenge and they should give due importance to it to overcome this and have this succession plan right away. You know, as you're developing the business, think about the succession plan so that the business is in good hands beyond that person and you feel comfortable as well. And as you said, quoted the BCG numbers, that's, I believe, results in higher revenue and profitability impact for the business because there's more calm in the business. They know everything was going to happen. I think all these things results in those metrics that you mentioned, right?
Correct, correct.
I think that's a very good discussion, Ravi. I feel so. I enjoyed it. I really didn't think about this topic myself. So thanks a lot for reaching out to do this episode. I hope that many of our listeners have learned through that and will think about succession planning. And I think this could be a business idea as well. There could be so many companies that should be existing to support companies in succession planning, right? Giving the end-to-end view of competency mapping, finding out successors, grooming the successors, and being with the business owners to enable them to lose the grip, which is also difficult when decide when to give away.
Right. I totally agree with this. And that is how I began up this, because I think that one is that society should talk about it, a community should come in into a picture who's talking about it continuously, so that at one point of time, we are able to reach to that place. We must think that how the business should be transformed from a generation to another generation and learn this art. We learn the art of handling the finance. We learn the art of handling the sales, operations, management, everything. But at one point of time, we must learn the art of succeeding, what we call as succeeding through success. If you got a success, plan for your succession. And I'm also looking forward to have a better professional relationships onto this domain.
Yeah, wish you all the best. So thanks a lot for coming to the podcast and discussing on this topic. Ravi, before I let you go, I would like you to ask one question that I ask all my podcast guests that who comes in. You know, as you might have talked and you have said you have learned a lot through your experiences. But I believe if you have to learn something, you have to unlearn also something. Some things, many of our learnings from the past many times hinders in our learnings for the present that will benefit in the future. So from your personal or business experience, can you share some of those unlearning moments?
Yeah, definitely. The unlearning is a parallel process, I think, which should go hand in hand. Because a limited belief system of ours always make us to understand the things to that limitation to the level we are able to read it, see it, or able to talk onto it. That is what a limiting belief comes into a picture. And that limiting belief stops us to think beyond that and to see that how we can do it into a better way. So I always believe that if you, I'll say that learning or unlearning is like creating a new belief system. Again, that belief system should be changed by another big belief system, another big viewpoint. So every time when we have a viewpoint and change of that viewpoint, definitely change the prospects to see the things. So for me, when initially I started this journey of the succession planning, I'll talk about this only. I think that making a will is enough. And that is the only thing what the business succession should do. That is enough that how your asset should grow, who will take up your business and how it should come into a picture. But gradually when I started understanding and get into a more detail and work with my more clients, I come out with this 5-step approach. Only step is planning for your estates and planning for your trust, making a proper will. But that myth has been breaked up by understanding that it is more broader because the family sentiments are involved into it. The family angles are involved into it. And we have to handle the things very emotionally and take up those new viewpoints which can expand and make us to unlearn the things and then get the new things installed within the things. And this is a continuous process which I think every business owner should do in his complete lifetime. So I many a time feel that my limited belief or things that happen into my accounting and finance working also, that I feel that this is how this process should work up. But gradually, when I learn more, I understand and go into a more detail, I have to unlearn that thing and create a new processes around it. That is how the things are for me.
That's great, Ravi. I think good for validating that, you know, learning and unlearning goes together. We need to continue looking at unlearning as well so that it doesn't become a blocker for us to bring in new learnings. Sometimes there might be conflict. That's nice, Ravi. So you have been talking about this book and maybe with our audience, can you share what is this book, the name of the book, where they can find it and read more about it?
Right. So my book is on this business succession planning. It has been published by the Texmen India. And this is available on Amazon, Flipkart and every online store where the people can buy. The name of the book is Business Succession Planning, authored by C.A. Ravi Mamudia. So I have kept the things very much non-technical, very much into a layman language where people are talking and how the things are happening, and also given the insights of my own experiences along with my clients' experiences and how and what I see that how their business has been collapsed, why they are not able to implement the succession planning. I have given a few tools into that, that what person should not do, along with we know that this is to-do list, but what is not to-do list.
Great, Ravi. Thanks a lot for coming here and sharing your learning with the listeners and giving a very different perspective, a very different topic, which many do not consider. As you said, this is a difficult topic to talk about and bring it up. I hope today's episode gives our listeners some food for thought to go back and start thinking about succession planning and drive success in their business through succession, as you said, Ravi. So thank you for today. Wish you all the best. Stay in touch. Thank you.
Thank you so much for inviting me and having me. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Take care.
Succession planning is critical for long-term success of a business. This is one of the learnings I have taken from this episode. What learnings have you taken? And if you are a business owner, have you done succession planning for your own business? Hope this episode helps you to draw your own learnings or work towards succession planning in your business. Do give me a high five if you like this episode. I would also love to hear your feedback and suggestions for improvement. Also, if you know any of your friends, colleagues, or family members who could benefit from this episode, do earn good karma by recommending it to them. And if you'd like to share your knowledge and experiences with the community, feel free to reach out to me. My contact information is provided in the episode notes. That's it for now. Watch out for the next episode of the Business Developer Podcast. Till then, stay happy, healthy, curious to learn, and think about succession planning for your own business. Happy New Year again. Bye for now.